You guys awake after lunch? I got the after lunch crowd. I was going to do something to scare you awake, but I thought, no, that might. And you know, I'm talking about summertime, so I'm thirsty. Let me take a little drink. Okay, I have enjoyed looking at the seasons of nature and how they teach us spiritual truths about the seasons of our lives. The season I'll be talking about is summer. So today we'll look at some things that are unique to the summer season, how summer ensures good fruit, and what summer can teach us about the seasons we go through. I'm just curious, how many like summer? Wow, okay. I didn't think there were that many people. Okay. The first thing I want to look at is what happens during the summer is the thinning of the fruit. And I didn't realize this until I did some study getting ready for this teaching, but the fruit from the fruit trees need to be thinned. Some of the fruit is taken off before it matures in order that the remaining fruit will be larger and a better quality. Now, if you don't do this, you're going to have more fruit, but they're going to be smaller and they're going to be a poorer quality. Also, having too much fruit on the tree can put stress on the branches and cause a limb to break and even damage the tree. So you would think the more fruit, the better, but that's not the case. Well, there's an interesting application for our lives as believers from this thinning process. We can have our lives filled up with doing many good things, but we can get so busy that we end up not doing anything well. And yes, there is good that results from all of our activity, but are we doing only what the Lord has asked us to do, or have we added some things of our own? It's hard to see a need and not want to meet it, I think especially as women. And it's hard not to give into the pressure that other people put on us, telling us what they think we should be doing. But what the big question is, the real question is, what is the Lord asking us to do? Have the extra things that we do or others have added to our days crowded out what the Lord had planned for us to do? It's good to stop and evaluate our fruit. Do we feel like we're doing what the Lord has planned for us and we're producing a fruit of good quality? Or are we running from activity to activity, not feeling like we're accomplishing anything of lasting value? God wants eternal fruit from our lives. And just as the farmer thins out the fruit on the tree in order to produce a better quality of fruit, we may need to thin out some things in our lives that the Lord has not asked us to do. And what we need to thin out are not bad things. They're good things. The fruit is good. It just needs to be thinned out to make better fruit. What Julie was talking about, the need to be pruned, that's pruning out dead wood. But what I'm talking about is fruit. They're good things that we're doing. They're not bad. It's just that we may be doing too much of it, or it may not be something that the Lord has asked us to do. If the word overwhelmed describes the season that you're in, will you ask the Lord if there's some things, some good things that need to be thinned out of your life in order to make room for God's best? The Lord will give us plenty to do, won't he? As Christians, we'll stay busy. But the abundant life is what Jesus said he came to give us, not an overwhelmed one. So it's always good. I have to do this every once in a while too. Lord, what are you asking me to do? And just evaluate, and especially if you're overwhelmed or just too busy to feel like you're doing anything well. The second thing I wanted to look at that happens during the summer is that plants and trees are sprayed or treated to kill the insects that would destroy the fruit or crop. And Glenda talked a little bit about that, but each season seems to have a different set of bugs that need to be killed. So the fruit that is growing needs to be protected, right? It's already on the trees, but we need to protect it. Those of you who have a vegetable garden know how hard it is to keep those insects away from your vegetables, right? They want to eat them before you can. I tried growing a vegetable garden once, and I thought I would enjoy it, and then I met my first tomato worm. Big and green and gross. So I asked my husband to go out and kill it. And so he went out and killed it. And I thought it was gone. And I went out there, and he didn't say anything. I went out there, and do you know how he killed it? He cut it in half. So when I went out there, I had two shorter tomato worms, and I was just grossed out. So I think that was the last time I ever tried growing tomatoes. So that shows you what kind of gardener I am. I'm not a gardener. I just thought I wanted to be. Not all insects are bad for our garden, are they? In fact, those of you that garden know that some insects actually eat the bad insects, right? That are damaging the fruit and the vegetables. So if it were up to me, I would kill all of the insects in the garden, but that's not what we need to do. For example, ladybugs, some of you are nodding your head, they eat the aphids. So those are good. And I had white flies in a plant, and my grandma said, well, you can get ladybugs, but the only problem with ladybugs is they fly away. So I decided not to get the ladybugs, but they eat aphids. Now, most of us don't mind ladybugs in our garden, but there's also some types of beetles, worms, and these tiny little wasps that eat the pests that will damage your vegetables and fruits. So we can't get rid of all the bugs. Some of them do good. What's the spiritual application for having good insects in your garden to control the bad ones? God allows difficult people in our lives that really bug us. I love that point. But they are there for a very good reason. You need to see them as the ladybugs. The first thing that we usually want to do with difficult people is get away from them, have them out of our lives, to turn and run the other way. But God is using them to produce a bountiful crop in our lives. So I'll tell you one way he uses them. One thing that difficult people do is they help us see where we need to die to our flesh. Isn't that true? I mean, we don't want to be shown that sometimes in this difficult way, but they help us see that. So the flesh that I'm talking about, because there's lots of different meanings for that, but what I'm talking about is it's the part of us that's selfish and wants its own way, no matter what. So as Christians, we have received the Holy Spirit, and he will always act like Jesus. But the flesh still wants to tell us what to do, doesn't it? Even though its power over us was conquered at the cross by Christ, we can still choose to obey it. He will use difficult people to point out where we need to die to the flesh and live more by the Spirit. And this is how I like to see it. They know how to, you know that phrase, they really push my buttons? Well, difficult people come up and they push your flesh button. And you think you've got it hidden. And they come up and they say one thing and boom, your flesh just rises. It's surprising how fast it can come up. But, and it can be discouraging. And I think that's why we a lot of times want to get away from them, because they elicit a response in us that we don't like. And we don't want to act that way, but for some reason they just know how to push our flesh button. Well, usually we just want them out of our lives or wish their behavior would change. But the Lord has brought them into the garden of our lives for a very good reason. He may change their behavior over time, but they will do a necessary work in our lives in the meantime. The flesh will never, ever, ever produce the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. In fact, Scripture says in Romans, there is nothing good that comes from the flesh. So no wonder God brings these people into our lives to point out where we need to die to the flesh. And a lot of times, it's not even areas we knew about. I mean, we're going along doing fine, and then all of a sudden, a difficult person will come in, and it points out our need to change and live more by the Spirit. Sometimes difficult people are in our lives for a season, and sometimes they're there to stay, right? But their presence helps us depend on the Holy Spirit in a greater way, allowing his fruit to shine through our lives instead of our flesh. So what a wonderful service they do to us, just like the ladybugs. And the second thing I wanted to talk about regarding difficult people, we've talked about how they help us, but God wants to do something in their lives as well. He wants to show his love to them. Some difficult people are other believers. I'm sure I'm somebody's difficult person. And we all have rough edges that God wants to smooth out with the love of his Holy Spirit. So don't you love other Christians that give you mercy and love when you act like a difficult person? I do. I need that. But many difficult people are not yet Christians. The world is not going to show them God's love, so he sends them to our doorstep. And it's so tempting when you open that door and you see who it is to want to just slam the door or say, I'm not home or whatever. It's hard. But many of us have a welcome mat, right, in front of our house. Okay, the Lord is asking us to place a welcome mat at the front door of our lives. He wants to be able to send these difficult people to us and know that we will show them his love. If we shut these difficult people out, he's going to send them to another believer. He's going to love them and minister to them in some way. But we're going to miss out on the opportunity of being used by God in somebody's life. And it's a joyful thing to be used by God in somebody's life. And we don't know what God is doing in their lives. He does. And so he sends them to us. Think back to who put out the welcome mat for you and loved you before you were a Christian. I know exactly who did it for me. I was 21 and I was an unbeliever. And I worked with this woman and she loved me. She welcomed me into her life. In fact, she invited me to church. And I was one of the last people that would ever go to church. I mean, my girlfriend told me after I became a Christian, you're one of the last people I would ever think that would become a Christian. I don't think that was a compliment. I don't know. But she didn't think I'd ever become a Christian. I had a boyfriend in a band. I was partying. I was going to school to be a nurse. I was having lots of fun with my friends. So on the outside, I looked like I was doing okay. Nobody knew how empty I was. Nobody knew when I sat waiting for my boyfriend to get done at the bar, I'd look around and I'd think, is this all there is to life? I never told anybody that. And so these difficult people that God brings into our lives, he knows what's going on in their heart. And whether they look like they need Jesus or not, if he's bringing them into your lives, he wants to minister to them through you. So may the Lord help us to see others with his eyes of love and be willing to welcome them into our lives. The third thing I want to look at that occurs during the summer is the need for extra watering due to the heat. And we all know this living in the valley. Water is essential for plants and trees throughout the year, but it becomes more crucial during the hot summer months. Well, what happens if we don't give our plants enough water? One farmer told me that it is the fruit of the tree that is most affected by the lack of water. I never realized that. The tree is going to take in the nutrients, take in the water from the soil, and it's going to take it for itself. But the fruit is what's going to suffer. So without water, the tree may look fine until you start looking at the fruit or the lack of fruit. And as Christians, we can look like we're doing okay, but what kind of fruit is coming from our lives? So fruitfulness is dependent on an adequate supply of water. And there's two very important spiritual applications we can make from this example of nature. In Scripture, water is used as a metaphor in describing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. How is the Holy Spirit like water in a believer's life? Will you turn to John, if you have your Bibles, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, and I'll read that. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not been given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So a Christian is someone who has surrendered their life to God and received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in the passage that there will be evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He will be like rivers of living water. Well, what are living waters? I wondered that. It's a picture of abundant water that is in constant motion, kind of like a river that is full of swiftly moving water. So we've all been by rivers like that. It's not like a puddle that you can step over. The Holy Spirit is living water. So he's moving, he's working. You're going to see evidence of him in your life. If you aren't sure that you have received the Holy Spirit and been born again by receiving a spiritual birth, Jesus asks you to come to him, just like he did in this passage. Receive the Holy Spirit and begin to enjoy the abundant life you were created for. Jesus said that those who believe in him will receive the Holy Spirit. So as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not a Christian. But even as Christians, we can become parched and dry in our walk with the Lord. And Scripture says we can quench or we can grieve the Holy Spirit as a result, and we won't enjoy his presence in our lives. So he'll be there, but we won't get to enjoy him because we're quenching him or grieving him by some sin in our lives. So if you're in a dry or a parched season in your walk with the Lord, ask him to show you if there's any area you may be grieving him or quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we don't always know that. I have had to ask him before. I knew there was something not quite right, and I just said, Lord, show me. And he did. I'm not always able to know exactly what's going on. I just know that something's not right, something's off, and he'll be faithful to show you if there's something that you need to do. And then God's word is also described as being like water. It cleanses us, it waters our soul, it quenches our spiritual thirst, it draws us to the Lord. In Ephesians 5, it says that the word of God cleanses us. And don't you feel clean after spending time in God's word? I do. God's word also shows us how to receive salvation, the forgiveness of sins, but it also cleanses us of our ways of thinking, our perspective, what we've been taught, all those things that God wants to change and cleanse and then show us his ways and who he is. And it does clean us, definitely. Scripture also waters and satisfies our soul. Psalm 1:3 says that a person who delights and meditates on God's word will be like, I love this verse, a tree planted by rivers of water. So think of that, a tree by some water, a beautiful river. The tree's going to bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever it does, it prospers. No wonder there is such a battle to keep Christians away from their Bible. There's a battle going on. The enemy knows that God's word is what waters our soul and helps bring fruit from our lives. So please don't let anything keep you away from God's word. Are you thirsty and in a dry season because of lack of the water of God's word? Isaiah 58:11 has a promise for you. The Lord will satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden. Isn't that beautiful? A watered garden. It's a beautiful picture to live a life like a watered garden, and that's what God's word will produce in our lives. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about is heat. And I don't like the heat, but a lot of you guys do. I'm surprised. So pretty soon it's going to get hot in the valley. And I don't like it any hotter than about 80 now, especially because I have hot flashes. So all that heat just brings it on. But as much as we don't like the heat, for a tree that produces fruit in the summer, the heat is necessary, isn't it? It's what helps the fruit grow and ripen. So we have to have the heat. The fruit trees need the heat. Every summer, when it starts getting hot, I'm tempted to start complaining. I could complain about the heat all summer long, but it doesn't make it any cooler. What helps is just accepting the fact that it's going to be hot for a while and making adjustments that will help me deal with it. Some of you may be in a very long season of difficult circumstances or various trials. Those times can be very discouraging, and they feel like the relentless heat of summer just beating down on you, not giving you any relief. You don't even know how it feels to be cool and comfortable anymore. But do you know what makes this type of season harder? When we refuse to accept that it is being allowed by a loving Father for a good purpose. God does not initiate much of the pain that we feel that comes our way, but he allows it for the good that will result. And we've heard a lot about that already through the other teachers. And it produces the fruit that he wants to produce in our lives. I must confess, I have struggled with trying to learn this lesson of acceptance in a very painful situation in my life. I fought God's will, not for a few weeks, months. I fought his will in an area for years. So I hope you're not as stubborn as I was and can be, but that's what I did. I just couldn't understand that he would not want me to be happy, that he would not change things after all my prayers. I could not believe that this was from him. And I'm not saying that wanting things to change is wrong, but there comes a time when you realize this isn't changing. My life is not exactly how I want it to be. Some of my dreams don't look like they're going to happen. So then what do? I had been a Christian for many years. I knew the verses that God is sovereign, that he loved me, that he had a purpose for what I was going through. And during that time, over these years, I did learn more about the Lord. And the more we learn about him, it really does become easier to accept his will. But I still couldn't get past wanting my will in this area. And it was making me miserable. And then on top of it, I felt like a failure as a Christian, because as a Christian, we should always want God's will. So what happens when you don't want it? I mean, you're just putting your foot down and you don't want it. Well, then I read a verse that I had read before, but I think I understood it for the first time. This one verse helped end this very long season in my life of wanting my will more than God's. You want to know what it was? I guess I'll tell you. Okay, it's one that lots of us know. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What it means is that God will not only give you the power to do his will, he'll give you the desire to do his will. He will actually change our will into his. And I never understood that before as a Christian. So what I did, I said, Lord, I don't want this, what you're allowing in my life. Here's my will, though. Will you change it? Will you make this verse real in my life? It took a long time. Like I said, this was an over several year process for me. But he finally did help me to accept that this trial was from him. And it hasn't ended yet. It's gone on for many, many years, but I have a very different attitude towards it. With acceptance comes peace and even joy right alongside the pain. We can have joy right alongside our pain, especially when we accept what God has allowed. And instead of resenting the situation, I begin to ask the Lord how he wanted to change me through it. Because obviously he wasn't taking it out of my life, so there was something that I needed to learn through it. And instead of running from the pain or resenting the pain or wishing it away, I began to say, Lord, will you help me through this pain? Will this be a time that you and I can draw closer together? And he did. He became more precious to me during that time than I ever knew him to be before that. I realized that by not accepting God's will in this area, I was pushing him away as well. And we do that when we won't accept that what he is allowing in our lives, we push him away as well. And then on top of the pain of the trial and all that, you feel like God is far away. And he's not far away, but we've pushed him away. Our fruit comes from abiding in Christ. And a big part of why he allows our difficulties is to draw us to himself and to teach us about him and to abide in him. So everything I've talked about today could be summed up in one sentence. Not my will, but God's. His will in the good works we do. His will in who he allows in our lives and the circumstances he allows. And he doesn't ask us to do it on our own, does he? He wants us to come to him, spend time in his word, and experience the peace and joy that comes when we accept his will over ours. And I wanted to end with giving you one word for each point that I covered. I think this helps us remember. And it also, if we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us about things that he wants to teach us using one word, you'll be surprised at how often you will hear him speak to you. And so I want to just give us one word to make it easier for him to speak to us when we're home and off doing all the things that we need to do. We want to remember the things that he spoke to us while we were here. The first word is thin. Remember about thinning the fruit, and it reminds us that not to put anything on top of God's will, and just to be careful that what we're doing is what he has asked us to do. So that word thin. So you might be going on Monday to your, taking your child to their third after school activity, and then boom, all of a sudden you hear the word thin. Oh Lord, maybe I need to thin some things out. But he, if you ask him, if this is something he's speaking to you about and you're just not sure what you need to thin out, ask him to speak to you, to bring that word to mind as you're doing whatever he's, whatever you're doing that you, that he wants you to thin out. He will, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and it's so fun to hear his voice and to be changed as a result, and to know he's so intimately in tune with us and loves us and encouraging us. The second word is welcome. This helps us remember to welcome those the Lord has put in our lives, no matter how difficult they are to be around. And so Monday morning, you might go into work and you see a certain person that you usually just try to avoid. And you hear the word welcome. Oh, Lord, really? Them? Okay. But it'll encourage you. You know, we have so many people coming in and out of our lives, you know. So he's not going to tell you that about everybody. But he knows who he's working on. He knows who he's drawing it to himself. He knows who he wants to love through you. And so ask him to tell you by just the Holy Spirit whispering welcome when you see these people. And then it kind of gives you purpose. You know, it kind of, okay, Lord, I'm going to minister to them in your name. You're wanting to do something in their lives. It totally changes the circumstances. The third word is satisfy. And that's to remind us to make time for God's word, because he satisfies our thirsty souls through himself and through his word. I love reading the word. I love how it transforms my life, and it does satisfy my thirsty soul. So maybe you're getting busy. You're doing all kinds of things through your day, and you're having kind of a lousy day. And the word satisfy comes to mind. Oh, Lord, that's right. I didn't have my quiet time. And so he will remind you that his word is there to satisfy. And the last word is accept. We experience his peace and joy as we learn to accept the circumstances he has allowed. And so you may be in something very tough, and you don't even know that you haven't accepted it in your life. You just know it's a hard place. And so if you hear his Holy Spirit and his voice say accept, when you're thinking about it or when you're worrying about it or whatever it is, he'll let you know that you need to accept, and he'll help you. It's not something we have to do on our own. We just give him our will, and he changes it into his. Not overnight, but he'll do it. We do all this knowing he is only good to us. Everything he allows is meant to draw us to himself, to bring him glory by the fruit that he brings out of our lives. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. You guys did really good after lunch. So if you would take out the reflection questions and spend about 5 minutes looking at those. Thank you.